Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. The Bruins return home to Boston, looking to avoid going down 3-0 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Rookie Jeremy Swayman goes into the net for the Bruins. Linus Ullmark goes to the bench. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. At 7:30, the Lightning host the Leafs, all square at 1 game apiece. Two other games tonight. Wild Blues shifts to St. Louis. Game time's at 9:30. And at 10 o'clock, the Kings host the Oilers. Both of those series are tied 1-1. In the AHL, the Amerks look to close out the Belleville Senators in Game 2 of a best-of-3. Rochester won Game 1 on Wednesday. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Defenseman Matias Samuelson's been ruled out again with an injury. NBA playoffs fires back up tonight. Heat at 76ers at 7 o'clock. Miami leads the series 2-0. Philly star center Joel Embiid is not expected to play. Suns at Mavericks tips off tonight at 9:30. Phoenix is up 2-0. And in football, Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll today says he does not see his team trading for any other quarterback and that he sees an open competition coming for Drew Locke and Geno Smith to be the team's starting quarterback. From the gridiron to the diamond, nobody circles the bases like the Buffalo Bills. The Micah Hyde charity softball game returns to Salem Field Sunday, May 15th to benefit the Imagine for Youth Foundation. Be a part of the fun and rivalry of the offense versus the defense, as both dugouts will be filled with Micah's teammates, coaches, and other Buffalo legends as they battle it out on the diamond for charity. Get your tickets at the Bisons box office or online at bisons.com. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. I'm Joe DiBiase for WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I don't know why I'm thinking this way, but I'll just tell you. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN joins us on the Wester Hotline. I'm just thinking, you know, does everybody who calls Greg Wyshynski just ask him a bunch of hockey questions? Greg, would you like to talk about other subjects, or, you know, are you good if we just ask hockey questions today?
I could talk about anything, man. I'm very, very pliable like that. I just got done watching the latest episode of Top Chef this morning.
Oh,
don't say
anything.
I'm just going to sit this one out.
That's my favorite show.
On the Puck Soup Patreon, the podcast I used to do, we actually have a weekly Top Chef podcast that my wife and I and Ryan Lambert do each week called Mise en Pod, if anyone's interested in listening to more Top Chef stuff. Yeah, it's the greatest show on television. It's the greatest reality show ever made, and every season's a banger, even the ones that aren't as exciting as others.
I agree, and I have made a point to, now when I'm on trips, I try to find a restaurant from one of the contestants. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Not in Buffalo yet, to my knowledge, but like we went to Honolulu and had to go see Sheldon's place. This is so exciting. First thing we do, we land in Honolulu. We're going to go to Sheldon's restaurant, line out the door. At 3 o'clock on a Saturday, line out the door, like around the corner of this plaza. Like, well, I saw it.
That was the end of that.
That was the end of that.
Well, it's funny, you know, I do the same thing. And when I was in St. Louis, covering the Blues playoff runs, St. Louis not exactly known for their cuisine, you know what I mean? You know, the toasted ravioli and the weird pizza they make with the Provol cheese. But Richard Blaze, who was on Top Chef and now is on like a ton of other food shows, had a place in St. Louis, and I hit that up like 3 or 4 times because it was like an oasis in that place.
Nice, cool. Well, I'm glad we did actually get to some new ground there. what's your favorite series?
My favorite series so far has been the only one that's been competitive, which is the every game has been competitive, I should say, which is the Pittsburgh Rangers series. Now we're in soap opera territory, right? Like, because we had the triple overtime game in game one. Now Louis Domingue, who came in that game in the second overtime and won it for the Penguins, now he plays game two. He gets lit up a little bit. It wasn't really his fault they lost. But now we find out the guy he replaced, Casey DeSmith, he's out for the postseason. So this is going to be Louis Domingue, third-string goalie's crease for the foreseeable future, unless Tristan Jarry, their regular season starter, can come back. But it's a physical series, and it's an intense series. It's star players making star plays. It's been a lot of fun. From a big storyline perspective, it's hard to beat the Leafs and Lightning, where you have one team going for a three-peat and the other team trying to win their first Cubs since 1967. So, I mean, from that aspect, it's hard to beat that series from a dramatic perspective.
Yeah, and those games have been one-sided mostly, but at least they've taken turns. So you've got a competitive series, even if the games have been, you know, Toronto pretty much dominated game one. Tampa had the big lead in game two, and Toronto managed to make it close at the end. I thought, really, the games from two nights ago, Greg, both in the East, Boston, Carolina, Toronto, Tampa, were like at 5-1 or whatever it was. Like, those games looked like they were teetering on the brink of, like, mayhem, violence, like Brad Marchand spearing someone. It was like that was on my bingo card. But then the team that was trailing by a lot got a couple goals and at least in both cases sort of calmed things down a little bit.
It did. You're right. I mean, I felt that same way, especially about that Carolina-Boston game. But you talk about the scoring. You know, we all know that this season in the NHL was historically offensive. The highest goals per game average since the 1995-96 season. And that's carried over in some ways to the postseason, except only for like one team in each game. I'm on Daily Wager on ESPN2, the gambling show, a lot. I ran the numbers today. Out of only 13 of 32 opportunities did a team go over their team total in the sports book so far. So it's always been one team that's scoring all the goals. The other team's only scoring like 2 a game. So that's been kind of an interesting anomaly so far in this postseason.
You think it's a trend or a meaningful thing, or is it maybe just small sample size or what?
I think it's small sample size. I also think that as we get deeper into the playoffs, and everybody I've talked to within the league kind of agrees, we're going to see more and more teams, you know, tighten up defensively. These games get a little bit closer. I mean, we're already seeing a series between the Calgary Flames and Dallas Stars where goals are very hard to come by. So it may just be an early season, early postseason thing that we're seeing so far, but we are seeing a lot of goals being scored, at least by one of the teams in these games.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Greg, do you think, along the same lines, that the scoring increase is likely to last, I mean, for more than this season? I can't imagine it is the NHL, but I can't imagine they're going to want to curtail that or anything. I don't think it's like baseball where they're mixing with the ball all the time. I mean, it's a great moment here for the NHL with the way these games look. Will it last?
Well, we haven't quite gotten into juiced puck territory yet as far as why this is happening, but, you know, give it time. We're a very conspiratorial group, hockey fans. We think the draft lottery is fixed every year, even though somehow Connor McDavid ended up in Edmonton. You know what I mean? So, like, we just believe in the controversies. So, Kristen Shilton, my colleague, and I wrote a story recently about the scoring explosion in the NHL this season. And I think that there are some things that are maybe an anomaly to just this year, and then there are some things that I think will definitely carry over into subsequent seasons. So, for example, the COVID interruptions we've had this year with more goaltenders than in any other season before played in this single season. So you're getting a lot of that. You're getting a lot of absences from the lineup during the year. You're getting a lot of teams that are just out of their routine insofar as practices and preseason and stuff like that. So there's been that going on. But we've also had a trend now for a few seasons where scoring has increased incrementally each year. And we are getting a thing that's also a trend where teams are more comfortable playing younger players in their lineup before they might have in the past. And by that I mean, like, we've all seen teams kind of like let young players percolate down to the minor leagues, learn the defensive side of the game. But now when we're in an offensive era, they're like, okay, 19-year-old guy, we're going to play you on our third line, and we don't really care if you can't defend. We just need goals. And I think that trend is going to continue in this league, especially under a salary cap where if you got a rookie, you're on a cheap deal, and so it's more cost-effective to play those younger players as well.
Well, it's a good point about the number of goalies that had to play and how that could contribute to an uptick in scoring. And it's even, I mean, Greg, I can't remember a postseason where we've had like three number three goalies having to play, which is where we are. You already mentioned Domingue, but we've got Carolina is into Kochetkov now, right? And Ingram last night for Nashville was fantastic and lost in overtime.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, that part of that obviously were injuries that happened towards the end of the season. And you know, with UC Soros going down with the Predators and Freddie Anderson going down with the Carolina Hurricanes. So in both those cases, you're right. I mean, it's been a little chaotic insofar as the goaltending goes. So it's something to keep an eye on. Again, overall, the COVID of the whole thing, we're talking about 2 years of physical and mental stress and strain on these guys. That's been unprecedented, and I think it all manifests at some point in and then just not being as sharp as we've seen in years past.
Greg, I always like to bet a futures bet or two when it comes to the playoffs, you know, a cup bet or whatever, or a series bet, and for a long time, I'm not exactly, you know, grinding at it, but it's you look at the PDO, you look at the possession stats, and if there's a team that has the puck against a team with a goalie, I'm betting the team that has the puck. The rate, right. This Shesterkin may be an exception to that. I don't know. Those don't always win either, but what are your thoughts on how the Rangers goalie, what kind of power does he have in these playoffs?
He's got a lot of it, man. You know, he played extraordinarily well in their game one loss in triple overtime. Obviously wasn't on him. He was nearing the record for the most saves made in a single game in NHL postseason history. And then I thought last night he did everything he needed to do, even though the Penguins were trying to take little runs at him and really kind of get in on him a little bit with some deflection plays. So, I mean, he's been incredible during the regular season. He's been really good in the postseason. I think the Rangers are a team right now that's poised to make a little noise. I mean, you know, if the Penguins are now stuck with a third-string goalie who I don't think can necessarily win a game on his own, they've got themselves a goalie that can. So he gives them a chance to make some noise in this postseason, that's for sure. He's the real deal.
Do you think Boston can get off the mat tonight? Third-string goalie again there, right, in Carolina. So, like, because that series, I liked Boston in game one, even though it ended up 5-1 with an empty netter. I thought that was a pretty competitive game. Game two, Boston, to me, looked like they just could not handle Carolina. I wonder how much Boston's got in the tank here.
Yeah, they looked really overwhelmed in game two. I actually like them tonight against Carolina. They're reuniting their top line with Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, and David Pastrnak. That trio is going to be back together. They're swapping out Linus Ullmark and goal for Jeremy Swayman. So a little bit of a momentum shift there. It wasn't really on Ullmark, those two losses. He didn't play all that well, but a team in front of him was garbage at times. They're going to miss Hampus Lindholm. They're one of their top defensemen who got rocked by a hit in game two. But I think overall, you know, getting home, changing the lineup a little bit, changing the vibe, I think they might be okay and they might make this a series tonight.
We have only, I think, 3 minutes left with Greg. Greg, how about the Sabres and where they're at? They were competitive. They were interesting down the stretch. Can it mean something next year, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I feel like the Sabres made a lot of strides. You know, they got a good sense of what they have and some of these young guys. I mean, obviously the Tage Thompson part of this thing is the real story this year, to have a guy that a lot of people looked at and said, okay, you know, that wasn't, you know, part of the O'Reilly trade that didn't work out. And then he, you know, manifests into being a top center for them, which I think is kudos to Don Granato for really identifying that. But, you know, I think they're pointed in the right direction. I think they've got guys in leadership positions that right now that are going to be important going forward, like Alex Tuck. And, you know, it's a good time to be the Sabres, I think. I think they're on the upswing.
They might have a couple of pairs of defensemen, if everyone could stay healthy here, that could really run games for them. But with Power and Joki Haru and Dahlin and Samuelsson, we knew Power, first overall pick, Dahlin, same. Samuelsson is maybe sort of a surprise to just show up and look like a veteran, really. And same goes for Power, yeah. Although it's not as much of a surprise, I guess, because he's the top overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, and Elwin Power is going to be a real force for them and give them an anchor, and it's going to be good. I mean, again, like, there's a lot of teams in this league that would like to trade places with the Sabres right now, which is not something we'd expect to have said in the last couple of years.
No, right. The goalie situation will be interesting. I mean, they have a lot of money to spend, and I don't want to claim to be, like, the only person with this idea. Maybe a lot of us are having this idea. Could they spend $15 million for 1 year on somebody to get their cap number up and just kind of play the position and, you know, be respectable? I don't know. Are there limits on that?
There are, but are you trying to say, like, convince Carey Price to come down to Buffalo? Is that what you're looking at?
Flurry?
The kind of money that he makes.
I need a shorter term than that. There's probably a lot of money left on that Price contract. The idea is like 1 or 2 years and pay big just to lure a talented guy in, I think.
Well, there's always the offer sheet market if you guys are bold and want to give up some draft picks.
Oh, I want to be bold, definitely. By the way, because I want you to respect me, Sheldon's restaurant is in Maui, not in Honolulu. It was the Maui portion of the trip. Okay. Greg, any questions for us?
No, I'm all good.
Thanks for your time.
Take care.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, at Wyshynski on Twitter. That would be, let me see if I can do it, Wyshynski.
Good job.
It is Dynasty Rookie Fantasy Football Draft season, with the NFL draft having happened.
Isn't it always?
Isn't it always is right. And it is terrible trade offer season too. That's what comes with. Oh boy, what do you say? One league I'm in, and we're arguing about. One guy made a trade, and he blamed everybody else in the league for not making good enough offers. Which, I mean, what? How do you ever get there? Right? Like, it's just I'm the one person making reasonable offers. No one else. Okay, I guess apparently someone thinks that. Another one, I just saw a trade pop up on my phone, just unbelievable. What can you say? Does it depend on how well you know the people? You know, like if it's you and I,
maybe I'm swearing at you, you know, whatever. It's a friend of that kind, you know, on that level. If it's barely an acquaintance or someone I only know because you know they're in this league, I think I'm just ignoring it.
But it's, you know, annoying.
Or writing back like, no thanks. Just, I don't know.
Another trade gets made where you're just like, so this is a big league with a lot of industry guys, and I don't know everybody in it or even like who everybody is. It's some fans too and kind of a mix. And I don't know. I don't want to be too specific, I guess. Why not? Mike Williams for a third? Like, what's going on there? How does somebody just give away Mike Williams like that? I feel strongly about this, you don't want leagues where trades can be vetoed. I'm very much against that. Because the only way there should be an overturned trade is if you think it's like cheating.
Collusion,
yeah. Right. That they're teaming up so that one guy can win, and then maybe he's going to kick some money over to the other guy or something like that. If you think that's happening, you kick them out of the league. You know, you can't have your league. You can't have there be any suspicion of that. Otherwise, people are going to have different opinions, and maybe somebody thinks Mike Williams is bad. So I'll take a third-round rookie pick who would be like who? Wandale Robinson. The Giants guy or somebody, whatever.
Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
Is he a third round rookie draft? Really?
He might be. Right?
He's
on a team that throws it a lot, right?
So. You know, James Cook is a kind of a first round pick among rookies in fantasy. He's running back 3 or 4. He's not in the top 2, He doesn't. Maybe he is somewhere, but he's running back three of Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker.
Mm-hmm. Which is the order in which they won the NFL draft.
Correct. In the second round. And then Cook also makes it into the second round. And he'd be third unless the Houston guy, Pierce.
I think I'm kind of surprised Cook's not higher. Because
then third?
Yeah. It's the right draft capital. It's the right team. I mean, maybe not. I don't personally love the Bills as a fantasy running back destination, but they get a lot of hype. Like, people wanted to see Breece Hall go there, I think, for fantasy because of that. Great offense. And, I don't know, Devin Singletary is in the way? Versus in Seattle, it's Chris Carson, maybe, and also Rashad Penny, who they just re-signed. And then with the Jets, you still have Michael Carter. Like, to me, the situations are kind of similar, but the Bills' offense is much better than the other two. And it's the same.
You know the quarterback is going to hum.
Yeah,
right.
And it's the same round. Same round. So I'm kind of surprised he's not higher right now.
What do you guys think on Cook the breakdown is here? So Brandon Bean talked about him like he called him a sub back, you know, which makes if that's actually what happens, the second round may be something we talk about for a long time, right? Because you want to do better with your second round pick. And I recognize it's late in the second round and even that they traded down twice. Than somebody who's part-time, you know, or limited like that. He's probably, who knows, but good enough to be on the field more than what I just sounded like. And I've got to think, I mean, the Bills deserve some benefit of the doubt here, that is what it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't replace Devin Singletary either.
No, at least not now. Didn't we talk about this earlier in the week? And Joe like made the point like being open minded to like maybe next year. Like he, you know, Singletary doesn't get re-signed. You know, where are they going to be at running back? Like he might be the de facto starter next off season going into the 23 season if Singletary isn't retained, and if he produces in the role they give him this year. Yeah, I'm really curious to see like what he does with what he's given and just exactly what he's given and if it goes well, whether he starts to get fed more, you know, like to gets you know more snaps, and we end up in a situation where it's more like Moss and Singletary were in 20, where they kind of it was 1A 1B kind of thing. That, of course, went away in the back end of the season this year, and Singletary was just never on the bench. He was on the field constantly. That definitely, with Cook being here, assuming everyone's healthy, won't be the case this year. He'll at least, I think, get obvious passing downs. Like, that's what I think Bean is talking about, right? Like, that's the mm-hmm. role. That's a part-time role, but if it goes well, maybe that starts expanding right away. I think you'd have to be open to that. You'd be, I think, pretty silly to shut that down if it starts percolating.
They won't want to be predictable. They will definitely avoid having James Cook only on the field for passing plays and Singletary getting all the handoffs. So there'll definitely be some split there. I wonder if Moss has a place here. Bean said some positive things about him, pointed out how he had been hurt going into last season, and that's all fine. I do feel like that's what every team's management is doing right now about their fringe players. Like, they're all kind of saying, oh, no. Jalen Reagor, we'll see. You know, they're all kind of talking about their fringe guys.
There's a role here for him. Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
But maybe, like, Moss hasn't been so bad or anything. But he's second-round pick, right? Like, so Singletary Cook.
And historically, they have not given a third jersey to a running back on game days, if you include Tywan Jones. Well, then they don't get more than three, I guess. So I wouldn't predict that Moss or Duke Johnson is active, other than injuries, and one of the, which is probably not even on the team. I don't really guess I don't have a solid argument other than Bean's comment calling him a sub-back as to why James Cook can't be like a lead back. Like, he second in the class in yards created after contact. He's got the size that's above even Devin Singletary. He's got the speed that I want. He's got the pass-catching ability that I want. In this offense, like, I think that's the exact skill set that I want for my number one running back. I want that Austin Eckler type. I want that McCaffrey type. Like the guy that is going to split out of the backfield and his value will come more from his pass catching ability and his ability with the ball in his hands, but he's still my number one running back. Like, I think that's the dream for James Cook. I don't think you pick him in the second round unless you think that can happen.
Right. Like, he has some good smarty numbers, right? Like, PFF, like...
Yeah.
I mean, not that everybody there is of one mind, but I know I've seen lists where, whether it's... Is it... I don't even remember, but he was high on certain metrics. It's the best I could do right now from memory.
He, by the way, he's plus 900 right now for Offensive Rookie of the Year. It's above Drake London. It's above Garrett Wilson. It's above Kenneth Walker, Jameson Williams, Sky Moore. Like, he...
It's kind of wide open this year without quarterbacks.
If he does that, and I know plus 900 is not a favorite or anything, but if he does that, like he's their lead running back this year. If he's in the running,
it's just like these rookie names we're talking about for fantasy are that list, right? I mean, it's all those receivers and Hall and Walker and Pickett. Is that it? That's basically
you haven't named the favorite yet. Do you want it?
Offensive Rookie of the Year is not one of those five receivers.
Nope. Well, you might not have just said the name. Did you say the five receivers? Maybe you
Olave.
Said, Olave is the favorite.
Why would that be?
I don't know.
Did I see something today about Michael Thomas is still not right? So
yes.
I think what was attached to that was Olave's got to look at being their number one receiver.
Interesting. That might be exactly it.
Yeah,
that's good. Because London, I mean. Jameis Winston's, maybe you'd rank him above certain other of those quarterbacks on those teams, but not by miles.
We know he can throw for a lot of yards at least.
Yep.
Oh, Olave too. Did you see what they ended up trading to get him? Like in totality.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable.
For anything that's not a quarterback. They did this a couple years ago with Marcus Davenport too, where they're trading like multiple first round picks, second round pick, third round pick, a sixth, like just five assets. To get to Chris Olave, like okay, you had to spend all that to not get Treylon Burks. Okay.
You know, it'd be nice one of these years if they were like terrible from it. They haven't been terrible yet, but now Peyton has left and Breeze is gone, so maybe that happens because they have traded away a lot of good draft assets to do what?
Chris Olave.
I mean. Yeah, I agree.
The second Ohio State receiver.
Well, I think he might be really good, but still. 803-0550, our number. Some Bills there, some Sabres first hour, and with Greg Wyshynski, lines are open as we continue on this Friday. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe as well. Give us a call. What are you thinking about today, sports-wise? We had the draft. We're into the playoffs in hockey now. It's going to get warmer. Let us know. This is WGR.
Pouliot takes the pass, crosses the red line to the right side, gets into the Ottawa zone, on his own. Pouliot with a backhand, scores! Look out, runaway train! Ben Pouliot puts the Sabres on top, 1-0.
All right.
Never would have thought of him, ever.
That makes
and he
perfect.
Wasn't here for just like five games or something. He was that whole season, right?
Or they traded him at the deadline. I'm not sure. But I liked that signing a lot. Mm-hmm. A really good possession numbers guy. Somehow the Sabres did not win cups despite that. But I was excited about that pickup. Benoit Pouliot. The T at the end of his first name you don't say, but you do say the one at the end of his last name. I don't get it. But I liked the player, and I was excited about it. Where is he now? I couldn't tell you.
Well, he never played in the NHL again after that year. I can tell you that.
Is that right?
Yep. 31 years old. 2017-18. That was his last season. 13 goals for the Sabres.
Is he playing in Germany or anything? Nothing? Just done?
You know, once in a while, I'll look for old Sabres that are playing overseas, like Dmitry Kalinin, I think, is still hanging around over there. I don't know about
Derek Roy played for a while in Switzerland or Germany. I don't remember.
He played Germany. He played, I think he centered JJ Paterka like for a while, like 2 years ago.
Who did?
Derek Roy did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
when he
did retire.
I remember the Instigators having him on, and he had played with Paterka, I think. Yeah.
He didn't play overseas either. That was it.
It's possible that one of these guys you guys are talking about right now is in goal for the team my daughter's team is playing today.
Yeah, what was you sent me that picture. What was is that some version of my kid playing with like 12,
yes.
like 10-year-olds, that, but he's like 6 foot tall? Like, what's going on there?
It was impossible not to think of Owen. My daughter is 10, playing on a team, and they have a tournament this weekend, which I am not at, and I get the picture, the first picture. I sent you the second picture. The first picture of the day on my phone is this goalie. I don't know. I know there are boys' teams. She's on a girls' team, but I know there are boys' teams in this tournament. And this is one. And the crossbar is at his waist.
Right.
And so I called my wife at about noon just to check in, you know. We got to make sure everything's figured out with my son, with my daughter. She's with my daughter. And... like, that was a tough game, huh? And she said, Garnet came off the ice, and her first comment was, Mama, the goalie had a mustache. So, tough one. They took the L in that game. What can you do? I mean, hey, I'm not questioning the kid's age or anything. It's just...
Please don't. I'm very sensitive to that.
You probably had a lot of that?
A lot of that over the years with Owen, yeah.
Yeah.
In baseball, too. He was just freakishly large.
So big that...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that's awesome. So, the tournament, that's nice. A little spring hockey, good deal, man.
On a Friday morning during the school year. Out of town. Like, that's... Okay, I mean, everybody I said that to, my friends, including yourself, my friends' kids are always older than my kids. Like, I started later. So, I've always liked that, though. Like, when I, back in the, I probably said this here, in the preschool days and the days where, like, the parents, seems like this happens less often, or I guess it happens at sports now, but, like, just different things where the parents are all together. Whatever, I'm not sure it's different now, but I liked being sort of, around younger people, like the parents were often even like 15 years younger than me. I was always the oldest guy there, and I kind of liked how that made me feel, just around younger people. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, so I've texted this picture to you today, and just to other friends who I know have been through youth hockey. That, well, okay, she's in fifth grade and is taken out of school to play hockey far away today. Like, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they all say the same thing. Get used to it.
Yeah.
They all say the same thing. And so that's Mother's Day weekend. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, do I get there in time for the Sunday morning game? It's Mother's Day. I want to be there for my wife and also sort of, watch the game even.
Yeah.
And I was with... another family last night at her concert. She had a concert last night, fifth grade, and then got right in the car to go out of town for this thing. And I was talking to another dad who was going to this tournament, and he said, I said, well, I think maybe I'll come out on Sunday. And he's like, well, the game's at 7 in the morning.
Oof.
7 in the morning. The game starts at 7. Like, what time do you leave leave the hotel?
Right.
You know, like, ice time.
Right.
Ice time, right? Like, is that always the thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. It's valuable, and so, sometimes you get the not-so-favorable time. Well, at least it's an early day, right? Is it one of these things where if you win Sunday morning, you keep playing, you got to hang around till Sunday afternoon then, or do you know?
I don't think so, but if the other goalies are 6 foot and... I think I'm not going to worry about it. I kind of feel like maybe they'll be home by lunch. I don't know.
Right. That's what I was getting to, is like, you at least you're home, you can enjoy, Mother's Day with your wife.
Yeah.
Mostly at home. You'll be home by noon, probably.
Yeah. Tomorrow my son has two different sporting events, two different sports. So, we're not going to be able to get out there at least well into the day tomorrow, if at all. But that'll be cool to watch him.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this earlier in the week, didn't we? Like, embrace this, man, because, like, I just sit around. You know, like, I got nothing to go see anymore. You know, that's why I like it when you did, I think Saturday you texted me that there was a game, you know, at Kaz, I think, or something.
Yeah.
And I was just into something else, but I don't know if I've made this clear to you, but I'll say it on the air so it's definitive. Like, don't ever stop doing that. Even if I don't, you know, if I can't show up 5 times in a row, just whenever you think of it, let me know, because I will, you know, I'll come. If I can do it, because I love it. I miss the rink.
We need to go watch Joe play, I think, maybe. Should we do that? Just jump into that scene?
play hockey?
Right? What else? What was the other thing you were into?
We did curling a couple of times.
Handball? No.
Handball.
No? Okay, no. What?
I'm playing volleyball on Wednesday nights.
Volleyball?
Beach volleyball Wednesday nights down the street from here. What was I doing?
I thought there was some other sort of different sport, but maybe
broom
not.
Ball.
Broom ball. Yes. Well, that season concluded because, you know, outside. But it was very, it was fun. Didn't have
all
the
right,
right
that,
shoes
was that
for
Riverworks?
Sure.
Is that where that was?
At Riverworks, yep.
Yeah, okay.
Late in the season. Man, that when it gets even just a little bit warmer, that ice, it's painful. It is not the same sport.
Yeah.
When the conditions get bad, no other sport like it. I think it's been said, actually. Broom ball is affected by conditions more than any other sport.
If I've heard it once.
You mean optimal ice conditions.
Yes.
Everybody knows broom ball is very vulnerable. It's very condition sensitive.
You can,
like,
you,
bocce.
You can golf in the rain. You'll just be wet. You can't play broom ball when it's 38 degrees outside. It's got to be 32 or under. Has to be. Or it's brutal.
Bocce.
Because you're running on ice, literally.
Am I at that age? Am I bocce age?
Are you bocce age?
Am I at bocce age?
Bocce, man.
There would be. You said you miss bocce?
I miss bocce. That's the cottage. You know, like that's
right.
That's summer. Oh,
there would
man,
be
I,
there would be boy. Leagues, right? There would be
sure.
leagues.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's Delaware Park. I think they have something. They have courts there.
Average
they,
age.
Oh boy,
62.
I've seen people in there, but I've never like just driving by, so I've never been able to like really get a look at it. You know what I mean? So I but yeah, it probably skews older. Probably skews older.
Yeah, not quite like shuffleboard old, but you're getting there.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that stuff.
Shuffleboard?
Yeah,
I played shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard, bocce.
Fun.
Went to get coffee one morning in Baltimore, and like the nearest place happened to have these beautiful lawn bocce. What was it? Courts, maybe?
Yeah, I think courts. Yeah.
And just like out in the backyard of this little coffee shop somewhere in Baltimore, it was like so cool. I just wanted to like
roll
be there. Yeah, just get down there and start rolling balls. Right. Yeah, let's see if I can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
We have schedule news.
Do we?
Kinda. We have news about the schedule news.
Okay, I'm ready. Let me get Excel open.
Should we take a break first and tease this? Like, what do we got, Joe?
It's not quite to that level.
I'm free.
I'm not even sure you're writing it on your spreadsheet. It's more of like you mark it in your calendar type of thing.
When they're going to announce something?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Field Yates says on Monday, May 9th. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will appear on Good Morning America to reveal this season's biggest Monday Night Football matchup.
Yes.
That's
okay.
the exact phrasing.
We knew everything about that except biggest. We knew there was
biggest.
Going to be one Monday Night game announced on Monday. You might have assumed biggest. What would be... so
on Good Morning America.
Want to play? What would be... this is a little bit like what we did with the Amazon Prime game. I think Bulldog was away that week. And I was thinking about that. Like they're going to announce that second week Thursday night game during the draft, and they're really going to want to make it. Al Michaels is going to be big,
right?
So there is a Dallas at Green Bay on the schedule this year, and I'm like, this is going to be the biggest game of the year. They're going to just go big there, and I'm like on the level of Dallas at Green Bay. Then people were telling me that Peter King had reported they liked the Chiefs there, and that's what happened. Chargers at Chiefs is that game. So what now you have is this maybe similar to that? What is the biggest Monday night game on the schedule going to be?
I'm looking at last year's Monday Night Football schedule, and I'm having a hard time pinpointing one above the other that was like, that's the biggest one. Like, I guess Rams 49ers could have been qualified as that last year, or Eagles Cowboys. Like, there's one being definitively above the rest. Like, you didn't have that last year, I don't think.
Yeah. Bills Titans is not that, right?
Like, no, I don't think.
Bills, though, like they could be here.
Yeah.
What would that mean? The biggest game? It's not even really like how do you know what to call the biggest game before the season even starts?
Right, on Thursday, are we going to be mad because the game they thought was the biggest game, like we don't actually think is?
Is Bears Lions? or something? No, they have to. If they're going to call one game out of 18 or 17. The biggest. It's going to have to rate. Like, it's not going to be really. You don't have to think it's the very best possible matchup, but it might have to look like that to some.
Yeah.
It can't be Bills Chiefs.
Why?
Because the Chiefs are week two, Amazon Prime, right. Thursday night. They're not going to put the Chiefs on Monday night and then have them play on Thursday night.
No, it wouldn't be week one.
They're saying biggest.
That's right. Okay, it's not. See, I'm always tripped up thinking these reveals are going to be week one, but it's not. Sorry. I've made that mistake twice now.
But yeah. I do think you're right about that, because they're not going to put Kansas City in another one of these right away. Kansas City doesn't get the first two.
Right.
The biggest Amazon game and the biggest Monday night. Like, that's not going to be Kansas City. Right. It could be Buffalo.
You couldn't get. We're announcing Bills Chiefs Monday night, week 8.
No, I don't think they would have the Chiefs again.
Okay.
I don't have to be right.
It has to be bigger than like. It can't be like Eagles Cowboys. I think it's got to pop.
Chiefs is one of the games of the year in the league.
I'll give you one.
I mean, no question.
Yeah.
Denver Seattle. Denver.
Sure.
Is it Denver at Seattle? It is, I think. Could they call that the biggest Monday night? Yes, right? Yes.
They could. They'd be idiots, but they could.
You think so?
Yes. There is no way Seattle is involved in anything near the biggest game of the year.
Okay.
Drew Lock.
Okay.
The biggest game
Russell
of the year.
Russell Wilson.
He's on the graphic. He's on the graphic.
Come on.
I just wanted to say it in case it wasn't obvious.
Yeah. You need two big teams to be the biggest game of the year.
All right, let me.
Seattle.
That game is at Seattle, by the way.
That's cool. Now, that's going to be in primetime somewhere, I bet. All right, I want to take a break and look a little harder. I mean, don't be mad. We have to take breaks.
My silence was not indicating frustration with taking the break.
I wasn't saying like I was going to go home for an hour and come back and give you some more thoughts. I won't leave. I just want a minute to ponder.
Yeah.
803-0550. Hey, I've asked this question a bunch this week, and I don't know. We've taken like two calls, and one was about why Bulldog hates hockey like yesterday, and one was about a bunch of weird stuff that didn't happen when Chris Drury tied the game against the Rangers. So like that's kind of what I've asked a few times. Maybe nobody cares, but like what would you want from the Bills schedule? Whatever like is special to you, week one at home, or do you want that Rams opener, things like that. We've been talking about that a lot because the release is next week. So 803-0550 if you want it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Couldn't quite get it into the area in front of the net. Now on the far side, Miller up top, Ristolainen. Here comes Stahl, scores! A rocket of a shot from the right circle.
Eric Stahl. I closed it by mistake. I had Hockey Reference, all the Sabres in history by games played. There were 15 to 20 guys who had played only one game. One of them was mentioned yesterday. Joel Armia played one game for the Sabres. And there's somebody this year also on that list. But so I just was looking at that. And you scroll down and you get to Eric Stahl and Taylor Hall. I don't have it open right now, so I have to approximate this, but it just jumps out at you. You get to those guys, and they played part of one season each for the Sabres and were both minus 20 or worse. Like, you know, good or great players in the league. In the same season here, and were minus 20 or worse. You know, like, I know the Sabres don't have the best history, but you look up and down that list, you don't see that. You don't see numbers like that, at least very often. So those two guys on that list for that is interesting. That didn't go well.
The guy who played one game this year is the defenseman they claimed from L.A., right? Is that Will Lannon? Would that be that? You don't have the list. I think he got in one game this year. Prowl might have been more than one, I think.
I have to look that back up.
Yeah.
But I'm in the process of doing that.
One game played? I have that in front of me. Only last 10 years, actually.
I do, too. Will Lannon is correct. So is Ryan McInnes.
What?
And Ryan McInnes.
And Brandon Biro.
And Brandon Biro or Biro.
Biro, yeah.
Biro?
Biro, Biro.
Biro.
Yes, Biro.
Those are all this season, one game. Two guys played two games this season.
Prowl?
No.
No?
You got it.
Paterka.
And?
Quinn.
Quinn, right. Hmm. Two games. Mark Parrish, two games, Bulldog. What happened there?
Oh, Mark Parrish.
Mark Parrish is almost good enough for the Rushmore, the Rando Rushmore.
Yeah, because he was a player, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He had a big goal-scoring year or more than one for Florida or the Islanders or both.
Yeah, he started his goal totals. To start his career, 24, 26, 17, 30, 23, 24, 29.
How'd he end up here?
Man, I don't remember how he ended up here.
I don't either. I wish I did. I want to remember this.
I'm pretty sure he's been very open. I think he wrote a Players Tribune thing. Like, he had real substance problems. Alcohol, I think, mostly. Really battled. And got a lot of help and is healthy, and I think now, but probably is what, you know, he had that success early in his career, and then I think he just, you know, derailed. But I don't remember why he ended up.
No, that's a playoff team. What's the point of guessing? I just was thinking maybe it was like to begin the season and didn't work out, something like that. I don't remember like a deadline move for him.
It's the last Sabre playoff team.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, Joe.
It's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? This is 2005. Anyway, so we have to get back. Yes, go ahead. Isn't that amazing?
Not amazing. This is 2005.
All right, thank you. Thank you. It's been filled in. Maybe more Sabre Rando, maybe more of that schedule thing. Who are the teams that we're going to hear about when ESPN announces we're going to tell you on Monday what our biggest Monday night game of the year is? How do you figure that out? I want to try. I was not able to do it during the commercial because I had a family, thing came up. So I'll get back on it. Don't be mad. 803-0550 for your calls. We talked last hour a little bit, or earlier this hour, actually, about James Cook, the Bills' second-round pick. What do you think they should do or plan to do with his usage? Singletary, even Moss, even Duke Johnson, I suppose. What do you think the Bills have in mind there, or should they have in mind with him, if you want to talk about that as well? Back after the update. Happy Friday. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.